Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. We got season four, episode two on the way. Surviving the mix, y'all. STK surviving the mix. We got the prestigious, the illustrious, the best crew out there talking about the Knicks. Don't care about those other guys, care about these guys. We got Coach B in the building. What's going on, Coach?
Good, man. Feeling good. The record is tough. You know, it's all right. You got to start somewhere. It's only the beginning. But we here.
Okay. All right. We got Ed Dollars in the building. Ed, what's going on, man?
What's up? Glad to be on SPK for the fourth season. I don't know, man. I've been loving the way the Knicks have been playing. They had a back-to-back. You know, they lost a tough one in Boston. They beat Atlanta. And they had a tough one with the Pelicans, man. They lost it in the first quarter.
We're not making no excuses.
But I like the way they were playing.
Hey, all right, good. All right, Wall Street, what's going on, my brother?
What's up, fella?
The phenomenal Wall Street heck in the building. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Hanging in, about to watch. See if Paul George or Kawhi Leonard could yam on Victor Wembanyama. Has he got dunked on yet? Somebody got to do it. He's been dunking on people, though.
reverse.
Somebody needs to call Nate Robinson so he could get dunked on.
Man. Here we go. Bringing out Nate. Nate was at the opener, looking extra. Retired, if you want to say the lady.
With a sugar on top, right? Extra retired with a side of fatness.
Telly, I don't know. I think he dunking donuts, dunking a lot more donuts than basketballs these days.
No, but Raymond Felton. I saw a picture of him.
Raymond Felton.
He looks like someone's Dominican pop.
He's been that way for a little while.
He looks like a Dominican pop that's been around the block a couple times.
Yo, leave the chunky people alone, bro. I don't have it.
There we go. No body shaming over here.
Nobody shaming. You don't support that.
Not in public. Only on text. Anyhow, so obviously, you know, we head into the first weekend of the season. The Knicks are 1-2. Lost a close one to Boston. They beat Atlanta handily and let one get away early out west or down south, if you want to say. But lost to New Orleans last night, a game in which they kind of looked overmatched a lot of times. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's early. I don't know if we're pressing the panic button yet. I don't think we are, because we've been surviving the Knicks now for 4 years. I've been surviving the Knicks with you guys. So I think we've survived worse. But, you know, Coach, I guess we could start with you. What factors you think contributed to the Knicks starting at 1-2, and how might you address these issues moving forward?
Take your time. Listen, hate to throw the blame on Tibbs, but we got to start there. So after, you know, preseason, you expect guys to be in rhythm, and you can see DiVincenzo not really in that rhythm. You can see Julius Randle not really in a good rhythm. So, you know, that's one place you got to go. After, like, reviewing some highlights and, like, playing in certain parts of the game in my head again, it's like we miss Obi. Like, we missed that athletic, easy bucket getter. Like, yes, we are good. Yes, we are smart. But, like, if you look at the starting lineup, Mitchell Robinson is the only, like, true athlete that's, like, of NBA or above NBA standards. Everyone else is, like, middle of the pack or damn near below average. So, like, the league is full of athletic guards. That's not Brunson. He's solid. You know, he's very capable. But on the defensive end, you know, there's times where it's the issue. And definitely offensively, he could get easier shots if he was just more athletic. RJ, also not the greatest athlete. He's also not the tallest small forward. You know, a lot of threes are 6'8", 6'9", and he's standing there at 6'6", with, like, an awkward, like, body movement. He should have played more soccer growing up, because, like, his footwork and his hips just, like, fail him. And, you know, so, like, when we have those kind of athletes compared to the freak athletes that are in the NBA, as you can see, a Jalen Johnson getting easy highlights, getting easy dunks, DeAndre Hunter, you know, like, DeAndre Hunter just, like...
He caught two of y'all the other night. Yo, all right.
We got one. We got one. Like, DeAndre Hunter, shooting over the top. And, like, even a Brandon Ingram, phenomenal wing, you know, great length and just being able to shoot over the top of guys. So, like, for us, it's a little bit harder because we do have the talent. They're just not the same kind of athletes that they are in the NBA. So I would say play Jericho more. And even though Deuce is a little undersized, too, he's still a terrific athlete. So play him more, too, if we can find a way. And, again, that's just what we got. So 1-2 ain't bad, but we could do better with more easy buckets.
Any rebuttals, guys? Ed or Wall Street? Any rebuttals? I think it's the cold starting, but you know, I don't know. I think they started cold against Boston. I think they started cold against the Pelicans, and I think out west you're playing Western Conference teams. It's the last thing you want to do is start cold because it's too competitive out west. I don't think the Pelicans are. I think they're good, but they're like, to me, a fifth seed, sixth seed, a play-in team.
Playoff team.
And they just got to it last night. I was sitting at a bar watching. I was just like, Jesus, this is, I don't know. What are your thoughts? Hey, you want to add anything to Coach B?
I just think that it's the first week of the season. I mean, you know, we're 2-1 today because Randall and Barrett.
1-2.
1-2 because... Yeah. Brunson and Barrett, Brunson and Randall haven't played up to snuff. You know, yep. Brunson and Randall didn't play good the first game nor the third game, right? Mm-hmm. The only one that was holding it down all three games was RJ. And RJ's playing out of his mind. He's, you know, he's averaging 22.5 points a game. He's averaging a lot, like 3.5-4 assists a game and 3 rebounds.
Been aggressive, definitely.
Versus Randall, where, you know, if you look at the stat line, he's getting close to a triple-double, but, you know, he's only scoring like 10, 12, 15 points here on terrible shoot efficiency, 4-for-15. You know, he is doing other things other than scoring. He's definitely passing the ball around, and he's always had a good high rebound rate, but he got manhandled by Zion yesterday. I mean, Zion took his cookies from the first quarter and Randall was going to be seen. You can see that he was trying to push the pace. He shot more than he did in the other two games, but he just can't handle Zion, and his defense is terrible.
Yeah.
So Brunson, on the other hand, we have high hopes for Brunson. He's our main cog. He had 8 threes against the Hawks. He had 31 points against the Hawks. And then he kind of reverted back to, he reverted back to a bad Brunson that we don't want to see, right? He shot, 4-for-16 yesterday? He had, 16 points? And our team goes now as Brunson goes. He's the main cog. And again, for game one against Boston on primetime TV, they didn't come because we still had a chance to win. Game two, they came out and, you know, Brunson and RJ handed it to him. Randall, you know, he snuffed a couple of points here and there. And then it was yesterday, and number one, it was a back-to-back. Number two, you know, the Pelicans with Zion.
The first week of the season.
They're no slouches. They could win. They could get all the way to the third round of the playoffs in the Western Conference if Zion's healthy.
It's tough.
So that's a tough back-to-back. But I'm still very, very happy to see where the Knicks are.
Okay. Well, Ed, I'm glad you took hold of that this part of the conversation because I guess I got a question for you now. This one is one of those things where you kind of touched on it, but I kind of guess we could touch on these a little bit more. But the early performances of key players like Barrett and Randall and even Brunson, you know. Because of the inefficiency, do you think this can, if this doesn't stop, this will impact them going further? Or do you think this is just like an early?
I mean, like, you know, again, Brunson, He's our main superstar. We have high hopes for this guy. We need him to make the all-star team. In order for our team to go anywhere, Brunson has to have a good shooting night. He has to distribute the ball well. He has to be the calming force on offense and our main engine. You know what I'm saying? I don't need him scoring 31, but I don't need him scoring 2 for 15 and being invisible. Right. You know, as you pointed out on defense, or as Coach pointed out on defense, Brunson's always going to have a problem, right? They're going to kind of, you know, try to like kind of target him. So he has to be that much greater on offense. For Atlanta, he was great. For the other two teams, he wasn't. So, you know, we definitely need Brunson to come out of the of this mini stunt that he's on. I suspect that his legs are tired. He played for USA. He did a lot of traveling. You know, I think that he's going to come out of this. You know, he never has two bad games in a row. He had a bad game one. He had an amazing game two. He had a bad game three on a back-to-back. I suspect that tomorrow he's going to do well. You know, RJ, as I mentioned, this is the best version of RJ I've ever seen. Not because he's shooting it better, but I think it's because he's making better decisions. And, you know, he's not just barreling down the lane and going at it. He's actually going down the lane and looking for shooters on the side. If he doesn't have one, he's going up. So he's thinking out there. He's passing. He's more aggressive. And you know what? The basketball gods have blessed him with more better efficiencies. Yeah. You know, he has the opposite of what Brunson has, right? You know, although he played as much basketball as Brunson in the summer, he needed that because, as you remember, since this is season four, Barrett always comes out crazy slow. Yeah. And he picks it up sometime way after Thanksgiving. And it's like this year he's coming out, you know, out of the woodwork. And that's what we need, because if he cannot have a slow start, his stats will remain. And that's just good for the Knicks, right? Mm-hmm. Randall, you know, again, at the end of the games, it seemingly looks like he had an okay game because he almost had a triple-double in both the first game and the second game. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, he got outhandled, manhandled, any type of handled by Zion. I mean, Zion really wanted to cook him. I think he wanted to get cooked.
Better athlete.
Because Zion is trying to show New Yorkers, dude, you want me. You don't want Randall. And you know what? I don't mind him being, scoring-wise, being third in line. I kind of like this version of Randall scoring a couple buckets, passing it, getting a bunch of rebounds. At the same time, his efficiency, 4 for 15, 4 for 16, no. You know, 2 for 6, you can't have that. So, you know, if Randall's our main guy, we ship Obi out because Randall, you know, averages like 40 minutes per game. If Randall's not playing well, Knicks aren't going anywhere. So bottom line is, we can actually survive RJ not playing well. We cannot survive Randall or Brunson not playing well.
Rebuttals, fellas. What do y'all think?
I think that he's definitely right, but I think that the two main things that, you know, that I touched upon is that I touched upon it last time, with all of the role players playing well, then that's a really good sign, you know. So, you know, I'll take, you know, a little bit of rust. Like you said, this is just 3 games out of my 2 superstars, knowing that they're not going to play like that all the time. Randall is not going to play like that all the time. And it's really interesting to see, because we've had the conversation over the last couple of years, if Randall could fall into a position where he's the third guy on the roster to look at, and there's guys ahead of you. So I think that he's been doing well, you know, except for, you know, it's just like Ed said, the shooting guys have blessed Barrett with, you know, a little bump in his shooting percentage. Randall's shooting percentage is down in these last 2 losses, but I don't think it's going to remain like that. I think that he's been playing great, you know, and I was thinking this, Randall, we always talk about what he does bad, but we never really dissect what he does really well. And one of the things that he does really well is he attacks the basket and finds shooters in rhythm, you know. And with Brunson and Barrett shooting well, that is going to create more opportunities for Julius Randle to attack the basket, kick the ball out, find Barrett, find Brunson, and they're going to hit the easiest three-pointer in basketball, which is, you know, when the ball is coming out towards you and you can step into it, you know? So I'm loving what I'm seeing, and I'm not worried at all.
I think
I want to. I want to piggyback off Wall Street. Great point with like the best version of Randle being like the third piece, and that transition, I guess, for everybody coming into the season should be interesting if RJ could keep it going. But definitely the best version of the Knicks had Randle being the first option. So that figuring that part out, you know, is going to be like important, and like the role players, like DiVincenzo, after like a not so good game one, played a lot better, you know, the second and third game. Quickly has been solid, I think, in all three. Maybe not the best against Atlanta, but like solid in like all three. And like, yo, Hartenstein, you know, giving us. I think Hartenstein has been giving us very, very good minutes. And for his size, it's being very productive. Now, if I want to throw a little wrinkle in there, how about Julius Randle at the three?
I mean, anything's possible.
Yo, somebody big, bro. It doesn't matter. Like, might as well play with like more.
Who's he gonna guard? He can't guard nobody.
Yeah, he can't.
Yo, listen, he's getting cooked. He's getting cooked anyway. Just let him out. Just leave him out there. You know. And then
I think your proposed lineup is who? You want Randle at the three? Who's at the four and the five?
We gotta be listen, like let Jericho play somebody athletic, and then definitely we be able to run more. We'd be more of an interior presence than having that doormat at Randle, you know, getting bullied by guys.
Nah, man, we're fine, man. We got Boston. We got Boston game. Julius Randle,
coach is hitting the panic button.
Yo, Julius Randle don't play no D. Jalen Brunson plays fairly little D. I'm just saying. Maybe not today. I'm gonna say that.
You know what I would say, like, coach? 3 more weeks. If you put Randle at the five, you got a fast team. You know?
Yeah, but that's terrible. They can't guard anybody. Go smaller, we wouldn't get any rebounds.
I don't think that matters. Randle will get – he'll get all the rebounds. I'm not saying, like, for long stints. I'm talking about, like, you know, like 5-6 minutes. Have the fast unit out there. Maybe have Josh Hart play at the four, right?
Yeah.
RJ at the three.
Randle at the three, it seems like he might be able to bully his matchup a little more, even though Drew Holiday, I don't know what the hell Drew Holiday was doing.
That's my thing, but, you know, bro. Like,
every team don't got a Drew Holiday. Every team does not have a Drew Holiday. So, like, you know, there's opportunity for more matchups like that.
That's the issue with your proposal, is that he couldn't take advantage of a matchup against a
Drew Holiday's elite, all defensive first team. Everybody don't got that Drew Holiday.
But Julius Randle's an all-star, and he's an elite.
He didn't play well that first game.
We're going to revisit.
I mean, he's all-NBA, am I wrong? Right? Isn't Julius Randle all-NBA? So, you know, basketball IQ, that should have been the – listen, the Knicks could have won that game, and I'm going to put this out there. If Julius Randle played better, the Knicks would have won that game because he shot horribly.
Agreed.
Hey, man, and
Brunson.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That's why it's 82 of these things, man.
And we were down 18 or something like that to New Orleans. New Orleans is a really good team. And we fought back, man. They're a really good team. We fought back. We got
it down
back
to
in.
Like six.
That was a fake comeback, though.
They're not better than
us. They went on an 8-0 run in the fourth quarter, and that was all she wrote. We lost the game before the game was even played.
First quarter.
Yeah. And they had to exert their energy in the third quarter to fight back, and that was it.
Yeah. I was going to say something in the chat, but I didn't want to get any Devin Booker gifts or KD gifts. I was scared, so I was like,
Dante played well in Atlanta. I don't know if Dante was terrible in game one. He He played okay in game three, but he wasn't like dynamic.
Well,
has Dante been worth the money yet?
It looks like his rhythm is getting better. So like I game one, obviously rhythm totally off, couldn't get it going. But the last two, like he's getting comfortable. So
I gave Dante the bag. And
you know who's been looking like trash?
Who?
Josh Hart has been looking terrible out there.
Listen, he got a big offensive rebound against Boston.
And that's
that little spark, that little spark is what I will take. All right?
He also got this in Atlanta. You know,
he's not out there to be perfect. Yo, he fell. But chill. Wrong team. But he's not meant to be out there and be perfect. He's meant to be out there and like provide those moments.
But you also gave him a bag too. And yeah. I think
he was the wrong guy to give the bag.
They're all undersized, but it's fine. I gotta say that it's fine. Eventually,
that's why Quickly don't have no money right now.
Eventually, we'll get some athletes in here, but it's fine for now.
Hey, very true. I didn't think about that. Wow.
Yeah, they gave Josh Hart what, $20 million a year for 3 years? I think that's what his number is. And they didn't extend Quickly yet. And now what's gonna happen? Now Quickly probably have like a issue with management. He's probably been pressing. He played well that first game. He wasn't so good, you know, in both the last game and in both the second and third games. He wasn't that great in Atlanta. He wasn't so great with the Pelicans. And now Dante is taking up those quickly minutes. You know what I really?
Yeah, because Quickly got to run the point now. So now it's like, okay, he's still decent defensively. His effort is strong. It's for the role that's been placed upon him. Good, like DiVincenzo and Quickly have to figure it out together. But I think like they're good. And
Dante had more minutes than Quick the last two games.
Sounds like the Knicks hooked up all of Jalen Brunson's fellas, and they ain't been living up to the money so far. That's what it looks like. But
it's just the first week. You know, one thing to look at is the amount of threes they've been shooting. They've been shooting a lot of threes, which is a good thing. Hopefully they start making more shots, but that's still a good thing.
Mm-hmm. They'll fall eventually, right? They'll fall. It's not like this season, right? We're looking at a really good Knicks team. They just have to get it together. And, you know, screw the NBA for scheduling Boston, which has, I guess, become quite a tradition. But you scheduled probably the 1A team, the 1A best team in the Eastern Conference to go against the Knicks, right? And then you followed it up with Atlanta, which kudos to the Knicks for beating a team that they should have beaten, because Atlanta's heading to the lottery.
But it was on the road. That's a good quality win on the road.
Yeah. And then back to back against the Pelicans, it was like, I mean, that could have went either way, but that first quarter, it looked indicative of how strong the West is this year, because the Pelicans are like I said, they're a playoff team. They're probably the team that really a lot of teams don't want to play in the playoffs because they're big, and when everything gets shrunk into half court. In the playoffs, you got Valanciunas, you got Zion if he's healthy. They're a dangerous team to play. And they might upset somebody this year. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully it's not Phoenix. But again, the Knicks having to play them, you know, I mean.
And then we got Cleveland tomorrow.
Yes, twice.
The first five games have been tough for the Knicks.
Wait, you got Cleveland twice. We got Cleveland twice. And then we got Milwaukee on Friday.
Oh,
so the first six games are like
first six games are tough.
That's why
winning that Boston game. It's too bad that Brunson and Randall didn't have the best games, because we could have won that game and then we would be a little bit, you know, in a better position.
Definitely.
Listen, the first 10 games are a wash. Okay, there's very little to be decided, but we gonna. Go
I would debate run. That though, Coach, because the Knicks can't. It's better to get the wins now.
Yeah.
Better to get the wins now, brother. The Knicks don't have that luxury of saying, you know, the first 10 games are watched.
I think Toronto's are going to, those games are going to be winnable.
Yep.
I think every time We see Brooklyn. It should be so. We're gonna win a few of those divisional games that are four. You know, so if we split them, that's a lot better than seeing the rest of the league. So like being that there's winnable games in the division, I'll take these bumps against these other guys.
I could even see seeing us lose tomorrow against Cleveland because we're at their home. They beat them in the playoffs. They're gonna try to do a statement.
Yeah. Donovan's hot right now too.
We're coming off of a streak where we're coming off the Pelicans, and as you mentioned, they're not the biggest team, and they got a big team. We got to kind of figure that out.
Yeah, Mobley's been strong. He's been strong. He's putting up not the numbers that jump out at you, but his rebounding numbers and his blocks. You know, he's doing everything he needs them to do. You know, 14, 15 points, 10, 11 boards, 2-3 blocks. You pair that with Jared Allen, and it's they're tough. They're a tough team to kind of get into. Wall Street, you got the final question of the night, my brother. Because I was just thinking. I was like, oh man, you know, looking at this 1-2 record, and you know, we've been there. Listen, if I could go back to every first show of the season, it's always been like 1-2, 2-1, 0-3. So this ain't really nothing. But looking ahead, what do you think of the Knicks prospects for the next, let's say, 10 games? And what adjustments or improvements do you think they need to make in order to have a successful next 10 games or so?
They just need the top two dogs on the team to hit shots, you know. It's their team. You know, they got everybody else clicking on all cylinders. So, you know, you just need Brunson and Randall to really settle in. At some point, you know, if you Brunson and you Randall, you got to say to yourself, like, yo, Barrett is hot for the first time. You know, I mean, he's played well before, but this is as well as he's played. You know, he's hot. He's finding the open man, you know. And so, you know, I still think we're going to win a lot of games, you know. This is going to be turbulent, you know. It's the NBA, you know. The NBA is tough. But I still think that, you know, we're going to win a lot of games. Randall and Brunson are going to get it together. And, you know, we deep. We got a good bench. We got a lot of energy. We have a lot of youth and we have a lot of exuberance. And, you know, we got a couple of guys that have been playing together for a while. And you can see it now in the ball movement where the ball's just kind of popping. And it's like the ball knows exactly where it got to be. It's like the ball got a mind of its own, and the ball is meeting the player at the spot at the perfect time. Basketball is about timing. You got to get to a spot. And if you at that spot 1 second early, it's no good. If you are at that spot 1 second late, it's no good. Basketball is about timing. Get to your spot, get there on time. And that's where the teamwork comes into play. Everybody has to know where everybody else is. And, you know, you're seeing that. We look like a professional basketball team, you know, for the first time in a long time where, you know, sometimes you just get used to just watching really bad basketball. And that happens when you have young teams, you know, that and that doesn't necessarily mean that you have a lot of young players, but you have a bunch of guys that haven't played together much. So we have a bunch of guys that have played together. We added a couple of players that are kind of learning the system. And I think that we're in a great place. I think that we're in a really, really great place.
Yeah. Rebuttals, fellas?
I think that this year is going to be, unfortunately, about Mitchell Robinson. Wall Street definitely mentioned it before, and I think like this is a year that like, yo, you got to be a double-double, like 10-10, 12-12, whatever you get, you got to be a double-double. And
he's not a dog though. He's not. Yeah. He doesn't have that in him.
He hits the glass hard enough, so it's like, yo, you get offensive rebounds, you catching lobs, like you need to be a double-double, and that changes the game for everybody else. You get a double-double, 2.5 blocks, like you propel us to that. Listen, next
my problem with Mitch is that he just doesn't look. He just looks like he's just out there playing because it's his job.
But when he get that board and he jam it, like, you know what I'm saying?
I guess.
That's it. We got rid of Obi. You know, he's the best athlete that's in the starting lineup as far as like being a world running jump guy. So like, just get a double double, and then from there, you know, obviously everyone else has to continue to do what they were doing. You know, Randle has been the number one option for a long time, and I know guys are high, and then guys are, they look better when they do it, but I think like that consistency matters. So yeah, if RJ steps into it, it's kind of going to be interesting to see. But yeah, Randle continue to be the number one now, and Mitch double double.
Yo, can I just throw this in? The problem with Mitch, right, and it can be solved, is that Mitch is not prepared for the marathon aspect of the game. You know, this game is like, you know, a bunch of passing, a bunch of dribbling, a bunch of dunking, and a bunch of shooting. And behind it all, there's a marathon going on. You know, there's guys that are running, you know, and a marathon is like 30 miles. I think a basketball game, the top runners run like 4 or 5 miles in a game. And those are the guys like CJ McCullough and Steph Curry that spend their offensive possessions running through pin downs and running through screens. Guys like centers and power forwards, they mainly keep the middle of the court. They don't take the edges of the court. So they're running back and forth in a straight line. So these guys are running 2 and 3 miles a game. But unfortunately, Mitchell Robinson is not prepared for that. He's not ready to run the 3 miles, 4 miles that it takes and still be fresh in the fourth quarter. And that's just his problem. Until he could come into a third quarter, into a fourth quarter, and have fresh legs and feel fresh. If you give me that, then at the end of the day, what is he? He's a quicker DeAndre Jordan. You know, and DeAndre Jordan was a heck of a basketball player. And I think that Mitch Robinson brings you a lot of the same things that DeAndre Jordan did. But DeAndre Jordan was stronger and bigger. Mitch Robinson, he has the same kind of like size and length, but he's not as heavy. He's not as strong. But, you know, he's pretty quick.
I feel like his rebounds are just like he's there to get them. Like, he doesn't have a nose for the ball. Like, he's just there. Like, I don't know. He gets beat through back screens all the time. To me, Mitchell Robinson's like a relic of the past, right? He's that center he can't step out. He's losing centers that are cutting. I mean, the other night, last night, you would have thought that would have been an easier matchup because he's matching up against these big, you know, New Orleans has these big guys that are plodding down there. And he did, what did he do last night? I mean, honestly, he didn't do nothing, right?
But the first two games he played well defensively. I mean, if I had to.
Well, Zingas had 38.
Yeah.
He's not. I said this before. He would serve any team in the NBA. He would serve any team in the NBA very, very well off the bench. Any team in the NBA.
Yeah, I agree.
He would be one of the top guys off the bench, but he's a top guy off the bench. And that's what it is. And he's starting for us. That's the problem.
I like Mitch. I think Mitch could be one of the better centers in the league. I think that his game is more indicative of the Atlanta game than it is of the Celtics game because, you know, Porzingis is a special phenomenon, right? He's like,
they call him a unicorn.
He's a shooting big.
Yes.
And Mitch don't play well with the shooting bigs. He has to stay relatively close to the paint, and our defense is predicated to him being in the paint. And thus, he mans the paint, and then he kind of alleviates all the guards flying by Brunson because he can't guard a paper towel, and everyone that Randall's guarding because he's not guarding anybody. But, you know, the next 10 games is going to be hard slamming for us. We're going to face Cavaliers twice. We're going to face the Bucks. We're going to face the Clippers. We got the Spurs. So don't be shocked if we're 5-5 in the next 10 games, man.
Are you guys happy with that?
Again, relatively soon in the season. Yeah. For me personally, we're going to face some big-time teams, you know, like the Clippers and the Cavs. Would I like to split against the Cavs? Yes, I would. Can we beat the Clippers? It'll be tough. We should have a good fight. In all these games, we're not going to get housed or anything like that. It should be close games. If they win, you'll know if they're ready to win in the second round of the playoffs. If they lose, they're just second round of the playoff Knicks. You know what I'm saying? Because this is these 10 games are indicative of what we are. We lose to good teams and we beat bad teams. So that's what I'm saying. We're going to face five bad teams, five good teams, and see what happens.
With the roster the Knicks have, you guys shouldn't be happy with 5-5. But I guess you got to take what you got to take. You shouldn't be happy with 5-5.
We just talked about Mitchell Robinson coming off the bench for the best teams in the league, and he's our starter center.
I'll take five and five to start.
And it's early in the year.
And this is again, you guys are just taking the expectations have to be there. This is a Knick team that can grab the third seed this year.
With Julius Randle, how many better number one options are out there?
Wait a minute, you're the biggest Julius advocate.
Oh yeah, to keep him. Yeah, because we're not gonna get equal value for him. But like the proof is in the pudding. Like Julius Randle's not the greatest athlete. He's a top scorer. He's not an elite scorer. He's just taking advantage of this opportunity. And it's like that's what we got. We're running a bunch of guys that are taking advantage of their opportunity. We have no elite like athlete and no elite like this guy like is a walking bucket. Like, yeah, they can get buckets, but it's not like, oh yeah, it's supposed to be easy for this person. No, like all our guys have to work hard to get it. Like,
do you guys regret not getting Donovan Mitchell?
We can still get him.
Preach.
Preach. because he's here in the city all the time.
I don't regret it at all because what they wanted was everybody.
Yeah, robbery.
They got Brunson, and I'm still not sure that matchup with Brunson and Donovan will work. And to me, I'd like to see RJ kind of get to it. It's exciting to see this progression. Hopefully it's consistency and he is consistent and he continues to play like this, but this is year five for him. He's only 23 years old. He's putting up Donovan Mitchell type numbers right now. If you look at the stats, other than the 43 points,
he's
scored.
The percentages,
but RJ's good.
But he got to get 42 nights in a row. Yeah. But I got a question. Dallas, you ready? RJ Barrett's athleticism compared to a Shaden Sharp.
Do you see the difference?
Like, imagine if somebody like him
is not better than RJ.
That's the point though. Imagine, right? You had that kind of athleticism with the package that RJ's providing for you right now. That's the kind of player the Knicks need.
That's scary.
Like, who's that, coach?
That's available. There's nobody out there available.
Everybody's available via trade.
The closest thing is Jaylen Brown.
Oh, he ain't taking that. There's no
the Jaylen Celtics. Brown's the fourth option on the Celtics right now, making $300 million.
Yeah. He's the number two.
The fourth option, yo.
Porzingis had a good game. Jaylen Brown's the number two.
That was a bad deal, by the way. I love that Boston made that deal because I just don't like the Boston Celtics. But that was a bad deal. Ed, you nailed that shit right on the button. He is the fourth option, and he's making the biggest. He's got the biggest extension in the history of the NBA.
Can't dribble left.
And can't dribble. Oh, my God. He looked horrible in the opener. That's why I was like, it's wasted money. Like, and Ed, it was crazy. Because you were like, oh, well, you got to give him the money because who else are you going to give it to, right? And now he's the fourth option. He's going to kill their cap space because Tatum's up. You got to give Tatum the money.
He's definitely the second option. He's been the fourth option the first week of the season, but that's all going to correct itself.
Yeah, that's it. Matchups will be matchups. They kill.
Well, as Knicks fans, let's hope that he continues to be the fourth option. Because honestly, it is what it is. But I don't know. At Wall Street, you got to stop calling Porzingis Porzinga. Tell you can't
Porzinga.
You cannot be a fan of anybody that's on the Celtics, bro.
Porzingai.
for Zinkai. I don't know, but yeah, Ed, I mean, I don't know. I think you nailed it with RJ. He's playing with confidence. RJ's always had this game, right? Like you see these guys that they've always had that game. Like he's always had his toolkit is the way it is. But
I think it's just playing with smarts. I think somehow someone talked to him and he's playing smarter.
Honestly, he's gotten a lot of reps. Like that jumper is just like bottom of the net. Like, and hopefully
pull up. Now he busted out the pull up many times, and
I'm about to say playing with Shea, you know, like consistently being off the ball, mm-hmm. like we'll do that. You know, now he's like, I got a good guard in Brunson. Mm-hmm. Went, you know, played in FIBA, had a great guard in Shea. Like, you know, now it's like we rolling. And it's the same kind of transition of I'm off ball taking advantage. He's off ball taking advantage.
Yeah, yeah. On another note, Obi is looking okay for Pacers, but I didn't think that he hasn't done anything spectacular.
Yeah, nah, he's getting.
He's been looking okay, but nothing like, you know, nothing.
Yeah,
I wanted
him
to blow us out of the water and be like, oh, I can't believe we traded him. But now it's like, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Not really doing anything for Indy anyway.
Yeah, if Haliburton could take advantage of how Obi runs the floor, then it works out. But again, like, the guys are...
Indy's dangerous. They're dangerous, man. And Obi, he's kind of lurking. I think he's still learning that offense. Yeah. It can get ugly.
I heard listening to some podcasters that there's a rumor going around that, you know, Obi would have a good game every once in a while, but he had bad games as well. But there's people saying that he was getting smoked in practice. They're saying that practices were like affecting him negatively because he was just getting destroyed so bad on different nights.
Yikes. By who?
By Nick Forwards.
Probably Julius. I mean, honestly, Julius was better than Obi. So it makes sense if they're trying to match them up. And in all truth, right, you figure Julius, before he had that All-Star season when they broke out during the pandemic, they went and drafted Obi, thinking, and he didn't sign his extension yet. So you probably look at it as like, oh, it's disrespect. They brought in this young kid to replace me. And Julius... You know, he's got a mean streak to him. He probably was giving him everything he could give him in practice. So, I mean, hey, listen. He's not here. I think he's not here because of the shit he said about Tibbs.
1,000%.
Yeah. Tibbs, that leaked audio was bad.
Yeah.
That leaked audio, and I don't think he was wrong, but.
What did he say? I didn't hear that.
You're just talking shit to him. Can't just coach. Saying Tip sucks.
Yeah, he can't coach.
Can't coach. Hey, listen. I don't disagree. I don't know. I think you guys would be a lot better if you had better coaching. it's indicative of last night.
Look what happens.
I'm looking at the first quarter. Tired
legs. That's guys are tired.
True. That's true. But I was looking.
We'll know. We'll know the next 10 games where we stand. The first week of the season, it's even hard to analyze. You can only get happy on the happy spots. That's why I'm so thrilled about RJ.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the next 10, that's when everything falls into place. Like coaching, the players, who's doing what consistency, is RJ's new jump shot for real? Let's see what happens.
Any last words, y'all?
Mitch, get it together. I've preached for RJ Barrett to get 20 shots in our first season, and you know, it's finally paying off. Better late than never. And I've preached for Obi to be freed. He is on a new team now, unfortunately. Hopefully he would have got unlocked here. But Mitch, you gotta get a double-double, man. This season is predicated on how well you could stay on the floor and be impactful on both ends. Everyone else stay consistent, but Mitch, get a double-double.
Average a double-double.
Average.
And any last words?
RJ, keep on doing it, man. I'm rooting for you, bro. I want to get that jersey. I'm worried that the second I get that jersey, you get traded, and then I have to get a Donovan Mitchell jersey. So I want you to be that star. I want us to have a homegrown star. So I'm really rooting for RJ. And I know that Randall, you know, he needs to work on his shooting percentages, but I'm not hating the fact that, you know, he's coming out as the third guy. Like, I like that playmaking power forward role for Randall. I think that would work well, which means he needs to take a couple less shots. Maybe Grimes gets more shots. Grimes has to pick it up. Everyone's been saying Grimes throughout the entire summer. He hasn't done anything in these first three games. And everyone is predicating, you know, our success in the playoffs based on how Grimes is doing. You know, he's got to step it up. All right. So RJ, keep doing what you're doing, bro. Brunson, let's find our games. Randall, let's do this.
Word. Well, take us out of here, man.
I say two things. He's right. We didn't talk about Grimes. And you know, that's been a big part of
what's there to say. Know,
that's been a big part of why we couldn't get out of those two games. But the other thing that I'll say is that this team is basically built for Joel Embiid at this point. So, yo, I know that there's a lot of like rumblings about what's happening around the league. I don't know what contract situations are like or how that would work, but this team right here is built for Joel Embiid. So we need to, you know, push Mitch onto the bench and go get Joel Embiid and with champs.
He's in the trade package.
Yeah,
bro.
Facts. He's in the trade.
You don't get Embiid without trading Mitch. Cause you need the numbers. You need the cap space numbers.
Oh, everybody's going.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We can't, you know, we can't blow up the team to get him. You know, he has to, you know, he has to come on in other circumstances than blowing up the team. How many years does he have left on his contract before he becomes a free agent again?
Like two.
Two?
Yeah.
Hold out. Tank for 2 years. Let's tank until Embiid is ready to come.
Like two plus.
Tank, you got a draft pick. You don't tank, but keep playing.
No, you tank so that you get two draft picks.
Take the process.
So that you can get two more players.
Come on, man.
Before he gets here.
Listen, 2 years, you're going to have an older, more fragile Joel Embiid. I don't think
you're absolutely right about that.
You know what I'm saying? You know, you get him now or you just don't get him. But
listen, hey, we got one big hole in the offense, and it's not even – you know, to say that Mitch Robinson doesn't even have like the skill set, you know,
he does.
He has what he doesn't have is he doesn't have the legs. You know, he could do the job. He just can't do the job for 38 minutes, you know. So but now we're in a great place, fellas. Y'all gotta be more positive. We're in the best place we've been since I met y'all by far.
All right, y'all. Well, on closing note, shout out to Coach Ed Dollars and hashtag Where's Ryan on their first week wins in the STK fantasy league. Ed, you playing me next? Set this shit up.
I led the league in scoring, yo.
You smoked.
Set your rosters up. We're on the 1 week roster thing.
The commissioner of our league is horrible.
He's not the one that picked Booker second in the draft.
In the world.
Let's be smart.
Yo, heck.
Don't be legendary. RJ, be smart. Mitch.
Yo, heck. Re-scramble.
Set up your fantasy lineup with a bunch of Knicks. Come on.
Yo, heck. Reset.
Legendary. Be smart.
That's not the commissioner.
Shots are fired. Shots are being fired. All right, y'all. Well, thank y'all for joining us. We got Coach B at Dollar Wall Street Heck. I am just Heck. This is Surviving the Knicks. Thank y'all for watching again. Take care. Peace.
Good night, fellas.
The next stop is...